Hey, this is John Lee Dumas from EO Fire, and you're listening to Elective Rotation with Pharmacy Joe. You must be prepared to ignite.
What's up, Pharmacy Nation? I'm Pharmacy Joe. Thank you for listening to the Elective Rotation, a critical care pharmacy podcast. This is episode 32, Why Normal Saline Makes Hyponatremia from SIADH Worse. I have all the evidence supporting today's show linked up in the show notes at pharmacyjoe.com/episode32. If you know someone who would find this podcast helpful, please share it with them. I've got to thank a critical care doc I work with, Pulmonology Tony, for taking the time to teach me about hyponatremia from SIADH several years ago. In this episode, I'll share with you what he taught me, and I'll review the pathophysiology of hyponatremia from SIADH, explain how normal saline makes it worse, and discuss basic treatment of severe symptomatic hyponatremia from SIADH and what to do if you correct the sodium too fast. Before we get to the topic for today's show, I want to update you on two projects I'm working on. The first is the Pharmacy Nation Slack group. This is a free group with other pharmacists from around the world collaborating with each other using real-time messaging to help better care for patients. I hope you join me and the over 80 other Pharmacy Nation members there. Request an invite at pharmacynation.org. Since I've started this podcast, I've noticed there are a lot of pharmacists and other medical professionals sharing their expertise with the world using blogs and Facebook pages and Twitter accounts, but there are only a handful of high-quality medical podcasts that are being published regularly. I'm hoping to change that. That's why I'm putting together a step-by-step course on how to start a medical podcast so that other medical professionals can bring their knowledge, expertise, and voice to the world of podcasting. To learn more about the course and to sign up to be notified when it's available, head over to howtostartamedicalpodcast.com. The approach to the diagnosis and treatment of hyponatremia is complex. I recommend you read a review article such as the one I have linked up in the show notes, or read the monograph in a tertiary reference such as UpToDate to get a more in-depth understanding of hyponatremia. One of the best ways that I've found to learn concepts about treating diseases is to focus on the basic underlying pathophysiology of the disease. Back in pharmacy school, I didn't focus much on anatomy and physiology, but in practice, I've learned that was one of the most important classes in my training. Each time I study about the best way to treat a disease, with or without medications, I focus on learning the pathophysiology. And that's how Pulmonology Tony helped me understand hyponatremia and SIADH. SIADH stands for Syndrome of Inappropriate Antidiuretic Hormone. In this syndrome, there's too much antidiuretic hormone in circulation. Antidiuretic hormone promotes water retention and solute loss in the collecting duct of the nephron. Too much ADH, and you end up with too much water retention and solute loss. And the solute that is lost is primarily sodium, and this combined with excess water retention is what leads to hyponatremia in SIADH. SIADH can be caused by CNS damage or CNS disorders, cancer, lung disease, and medications. The list of medications that have been associated with causing SIADH is very long. The most common classes that I see causing SIADH in patients are antiepileptics, antipsychotics, and antidepressants. You can find a detailed list over in the show notes at pharmacyjoe.com/episode32. Symptoms vary with the duration and severity of hyponatremia. Hyponatremia from SIDH can often be severe with a sodium of 120 MEQs per liter or lower. Patients may present with seizure or coma at this level if the hyponatremia is acute. Mild to moderate symptoms of hyponatremia are relatively nonspecific. They include headache, nausea, vomiting, fatigue, gait disturbance, and confusion. In patients with more acute hyponatremia, such symptoms could rapidly change without warning to seizures, respiratory arrest, or in the worst cases, herniation. Now, on the surface, it's easy to think that giving normal saline at 154 MEQs to a patient with hyponatremia from SIDH will help raise the serum sodium. But in the case of SIDH, giving normal saline will actually lower the serum sodium even more. Here's why. Sodium and water handling by the kidney are regulated independently. Sodium by aldosterone and atrial natriuretic peptide, and water by ADH. In SIDH, sodium handling is still intact, and only water handling is out of balance from too much ADH in circulation. Therefore, when administering a liter of normal saline to a patient with SIDH and a high urine osmolality, all of the sodium will be excreted, but about half of the water will be retained, worsening the hyponatremia. And this is because the concentration of sodium in the urine of a patient with SIDH is going to be higher than the concentration of sodium in normal saline. Now, in the show notes, I've provided a detailed calculation of this point, also with a link to another website that describes it in even more detail. So with sodium handling by aldosterone intact, in order to raise the serum sodium with IV fluids, the sodium concentration of the administered IV fluids must be greater than the concentration of sodium in the urine, not in the serum. Let's talk a bit about treatment of SIDH. In addition to stopping potentially causative medications, there's two main treatment strategies for the acute treatment of SIDH, and that's fluid restriction and sodium chloride administration. Now, vasopressin receptor antagonists are a potential third option, but they're not covered here since they have not, in my opinion, been adequately studied for the initial treatment of acute hyponatremia from SIDH. Fluid restriction with a goal intake of less than 800 mL per day should be considered in all patients with hyponatremia from SIDH. This may be all that's necessary if the patient has mild to moderate symptoms or even severe hyponatremia that is completely without symptoms. The effectiveness of fluid restriction can actually be predicted by the urine to serum cation ratio. A ratio less than 0.5 suggests that the serum sodium concentration will rise with fluid restriction, while a ratio greater than 1 indicates that it will not. Interestingly, if this ratio is greater than 1, loop diuretics will be effective in increasing water loss and increasing water loss and increasing the serum sodium concentration. In addition to fluid restriction, the therapy of SIDH-associated hyponatremia often requires the administration of sodium chloride, either as oral salt tablets or intravenous saline. Oral salt tablets can be used in patients with mild to moderate hyponatremia. And when using intravenous saline, remember, like we've discussed already, the electrolyte concentration of the administered fluid must be greater than the electrolyte concentration of the urine. And this means that we usually require hypertonic saline. If your patient has severe symptomatic hyponatremia, including seizures or other severe neurologic abnormalities or intracerebral diseases, IV hypertonic saline should be given immediately. Give a 100 ml bolus of 3% saline and repeat this once or twice if neurologic symptoms persist or worsen. In an ideal situation, hypertonic saline would be given via a central line. But just like I say with vasopressors, any port in a storm. The priority is to fix their neurologic disorder. IV access can be optimized after the hypertonic saline has been started. After the neurologic symptoms are under control, further calculations can be performed to determine how much sodium chloride the patient still needs. Ideally, the serum sodium will not rise by more than 4 to 6 MEQs in the first 24 hours of treatment. Now, this target is lower than I remember learning in school, but a lower target provides a better margin of safety should the serum sodium rise too fast. The risk of correcting the serum sodium concentration too quickly is osmotic demyelination of the nervous system, and this osmotic demyelination syndrome results in irreversibly or maybe partially reversible neurologic damage. The risk is serious enough that if a patient with hyponatremia has a serum sodium rise greater than 9 MEQs in 24 hours or 18 MEQs in 48 hours, relowering of the serum sodium should be considered. Now, this is supported by animal data, which show it is effective in preventing osmotic demyelination syndrome. The regimen to use is 6 ml per kilo of 5% dextrose repeated until the serum sodium rise is back below 9 MEQs in 24 hours or 18 MEQs in 48 hours. Desmopressin also is given at a dose of 2 mics every 6 hours, IV or subcutaneously. Have you had to relower a patient's serum sodium because it was corrected too quickly in the initial 24 hours? I'd love to hear about it. Send me an email to joe@pharmacyjoe.com. And to learn more about my step-by-step course on how to start a medical podcast, head over to howtostartamedicalpodcast.com. Thank you so much for listening. I'll see you in the next episode of the Elective Rotation.